program or advanced prep. The coaches are all here tonight, so you can field some questions. But other than that, the future is, if your kids get into the sport, growing through the junior program, there's a lot of traveling to cool places and a lot of fun ski racing. And welcome all of you guys to the program. And I'm kind of going to pass it on to the Mighty Mike coaches, because that's where we start with the new parent program. Unless there is a new parent to the U14 and older program, I can field some of those questions. Okay.
Andy, you want to say a few words?
Yeah, hi. So I'm Andy Steins. I'm the board president. I don't have near the experience of the likes of the others from CMAC on this on this call, but I've been president for about 3 years now, and love this organization. We treat it as a family. We really do look out for each other. Short note is really appreciate everybody's patience this year. You're coming into a program that's facing the COVID stuff, which is unlike anything that we've dealt with before. So not only are we trying to comply with Washington state laws, we're also, and changing guidance, we're also dealing with Altera and its changing guidance. And so hats off to the coaches that are on this call for, and Dale, for really stepping up and you know, doing their best to make this work. Like I said, we'll get through this season one way or another, but patience is a virtue, and, you know, just bear with us. We'll try to make it successful. With that, I'll hand it off to the vice president, Tom Lozier, not only a great board member, but also a ski coach and longtime CMAC guy. So Tom, take it over. As soon as he gets off mute.
There we go. Hi, I'm Tom Lozier. I'm the board vice president and counsel to the board. As Andy mentioned, I also assist Scott, McCartney, and Alan with coaching junior level racers. And Andy does have a lot more experience than he says. He has two sons that have been in the program starting at, six years old. So the experience that we have is really related to the questions you're going to have about what happens in the program and how it happens and what it's going to be like having a kid who comes into the program and then within a few years is going to be out skiing you, I guarantee, and just having a great time. And ski racing, you know, it really, you just learn to appreciate the things that the kids get to do and that get to see. The picture in my background was a couple of days ago at the top of Copper Mountain at 6:45 in the morning, getting ready for training for speed events with these kids that I've been skiing with since they were 7 and 8 years old. And it's just a fantastic thing to do with your family and with your children. And I hope that you all, as parents, will join in the program, participate in the program, you know, be there, travel to races, see your kids on the hill, and really become a part of the community, which is what it is. And I can tell you, having been a ski racer myself, that the friends your kids will make as ski racers in this program will be their friends for life. They'll be friends that they go and travel the world with and ski different places with. And some of them will compete nationally and internationally. And when they want to get together and do something in their 20s and in their 30s and in their 40s, they'll have a group of people that they know that can keep up with them and can do fun things with them. And that's really what the lifetime of CMAC is all about. And you see that with some of the parents we have who were coaches and who were athletes themselves. And that's just kind of keeping the cycle moving and keeping the program moving forward with what it really is, which is a ski racing community. And I'll pass the baton.
Yep, I think we're gonna move to, JP, do you wanna talk about sort of the COVID work that we've been doing?
Sure, yeah, hi everybody. I'm John Phillips. Most around the mountains know me as
Jake. You can go anytime if you've had a cookie.
And so together with my wife, Tatum Phillips, we are the Mighty Mite directors. And so we run the Mighty Mite race program. And so I grew up skiing with CMAC. I joined when I was a little bit later, when I was 11. And ended up racing through high school and ended up racing in college at the USCSA level. Tatum was in CMAC from a pretty young age and started racing at a young age and made it onto the US ski team at age 15 and ended up competing at the highest level on the World Cup. And so I think we both bring a couple pretty unique perspectives in ski racing. You know, one from different perspectives that both just kind of really created a love of the sport. And here we are, you know, 15, 20 years later into our coaching careers with this. And I just reiterate what Tom said, and that, you know, if we kind of look at the community that we have around Crystal through the racing community, and then just beyond that, the friendships that we've made through the racing, it's a really pretty close-knit, unique community. And I think there's just a lot of potential there to create lifelong relationships through this program. So welcome, everybody. We are in a pretty unique situation this year. And a lot of work has gone in to prepare for this season, and it's going to be an ongoing process through the season as we learn. But you know what CMAC has done up to this point, you know, we've done a thorough review of all applicable COVID guidelines, from the state, from the CDC, and then down right to Crystal Mountain and U.S. Ski and Snowboard. You know, they all have COVID guidelines, and you know, we have formatted our programs to comply with all of those guidelines. And so, you know, our intent is really to put together the safest possible program that we can within those guidelines. And I think we all understand that, as we come together at Crystal Mountain, there's certainly risks involved, but if we all do everything that we can in within those and conform to those guidelines and do everything we can to always be vigilant about those things, I think we have the potential to have a real, real successful and safe season here. And so, just from a general standpoint, to let you know what we're doing, kind of from the health and safety standpoint, it's probably something that a lot of you are familiar with in your workplaces and things like that. But we will have an app-based health attestation that all coaches will complete each morning when they show up. And then we'll do temperature checks on all of our staff and coaches. And then the athletes will also check in via that app-based questionnaire. And so when they go up on the hill and they meet their coaches can review that, make sure they've passed the questionnaire. And then the coaches will also temperature screen at the beginning of the morning and afternoon sessions. And then beyond that, really what we are doing is, complying with it. If your kids are involved in any sports, any team sports or anything right now, you kind of know the situation there. It's, it's really all about kind of maintaining, social distances. So some things that are happening at Crystal Mountain, and probably a lot of you have been up there skiing already. It's about how you load the lifts and making sure there's separation between unrelated people on the lifts. It's masks when we're together in the lift lines and any places where we're kind of gathering together. All of those things that we're going to be really vigilant on. And so, we put together kind of an operating plan for, and I'll speak to the Mighty Might Race operating plan. And so Paul, who will introduce himself next, runs the prep program. And so their program runs pretty similar to ours in that, each set of athletes has one group coach. And so we've got a few week test run in our program before Paul kicks off, so we can hopefully fine tune things before prep program kicks off. But the gist of it for Mighty Might Race is really that you know, we have a few challenges in that, you know, there's a lot of cold days up there. We don't have access to lodges. So a couple things that'll look a little bit different this year. And if you are a Mighty Might Race family, you should have received an email that outlined this. We are shortening our days a little bit. We're going to meet a little bit later and break a little bit early. So basically we're going to shorten it to a 2-hour morning session and a 2-hour afternoon session. And hopefully that makes it possible for the kids to generally, you know, be able to stay out on marginal weather days. If it's a really cold day, you know, we're going to rely on text communication to parents that, hey, we're going to need to break early and we need to come and meet our, you know, meet and, you know, we have to kind of feel it out how up there, how, what we can do to warm up. But I think it's going to be a lot of car based, you know, things until, you know, like when I was up there on Sunday, they were still building their outdoor tent, and Crystal's doing a lot up there to provide some things like that. But those are the things we're going to have to kind of feel out as the season goes. And you know, like Andy said, it's going to be about flexibility. It'll be about communication. But hopefully we can kind of work together on all of that. But I guess the biggest thing to assure you is that we're making our best effort to make sure that everything we do complies with kind of all guidelines. And then beyond that, I think we really need to, you know, to ask all of our families that we're being really diligent about, you know, kind of following guidelines when we're up at Crystal Mountain. And that's both, you know, when you're with CMAQ and when you're not with CMAQ, because, you know, with these young kids, so I have two young kids, a 9-year-old daughter, and then our youngest daughter is going to be a first year racer in the program. And so we've been skiing around a little bit and we'll meet up with a couple friends. And so even just when we're skiing around, you know, things that we're trying to really get ingrained with the kids is that when you stop, if you can reach out and touch your friend with your pole, you're too close. And so, you know, when you're out there skiing around with your kids, you know, trying to enforce kind of the policies that Crystal Mountain has published, but then also kind of those social distancing policies. And that's not within your household, but that's if you're skiing around with unrelated people. So that's kind of our ask is that, you know, you as families, you know, you really work with your kids, you know, to try to really make sure that you're getting in the habit of following kind of the Crystal Mountain guidelines. And then, you know, through our program, we'll be sending, you know, we have and we'll continue to send out kind of our published guidelines. And just hopefully we can really get in a good habit. And I've just noticed over the, you know, got 4 days in up there with my kids and they're being pretty good. They're getting pretty good about it. We stop before we get to the chairlift. We make sure our masks are up before we get down to the chairlift line, all of those things. Another note is, and this will kind of apply specifically to the younger kids. And so the way we operate within Mighty Might Race is that each, you know, 6 or 7 athletes will have one coach. But with Crystal Mountain's guidelines and with the governor's guidelines, you have to remain 2 seats away on a chairlift from any unrelated parties. So that means if we have a group of 7 kids and one coach, 8 people, if we're riding up a quad or even a 6-pack, we're going to take 4 different chairs. And, you know, we have to put on a quad, 1 kid over here, unrelated kid, 2 seats away over here. And the same on a 6-pack, 1 kid over here, unrelated kid on the other side. And that's the way that we will have to ride up the chairlifts this year, which means if we have a, you know, younger kids, one of the really important things is that they're going to need to be independent on the chairlift, or at least able to advocate for themselves. To, you know, the lifties on Forest Queen are great about running up behind the chairlift, behind the kids and making sure everyone's on, but that is how we're going to have to ride the chairlifts. You know, just maintaining that social distancing. We will keep the same group of kids together with the same coach all year to kind of minimize intermixing of kids. But even within that group, to conform with all of our guidelines, that's the way we're going to ride the chairlift. So things like that. And I think, so it's pretty important, if you've already been on the hill, or if you're going to come up next weekend or before prep season starts, pretty important to start really working with your kids to, get them able to load that chairlift by themselves. Hopefully you're comfortable with the kids being on a chairlift without an adult. So that means, the younger kids are probably going to go up without putting the safety bar down, things like that. And so that's just something to be very aware of, in terms of just kind of a safety issue, is making sure those kids can ride that chairlift themselves. I think that's kind of the overall gist of kind of the COVID plan.
I can mention a couple of comments here, since we've been doing it we did it at summer camp, and now we've done it for a month here in Colorado. When we do training lane situation, like in the junior program, which the Mighty Mites will do too, it seems to be working quite well. We don't seem to have any problems, because when you're in line for a training run, you're pretty much 6 foot distancing, and then the training course is pretty empty, and it's so far so good. We've been having great training, and now we're going to have a ski race tomorrow. So it can be done if everybody follows the protocols, wears their masks, and stays careful. It can be done. So we feel pretty good about it.
Yeah, it's great to have. Yeah, it's awesome to have, a summer and a month of experience in Colorado where they are out on the training hill. It's can't wait for you guys to get back and share some of those experiences. As we get onto our training hills, I guess I've been talking mostly about kind of the free skiing aspect of it. Then once we get on the training hills, that's when, gold, where they will start to be, the kids will be lapping, gold hills when we get into it, or quicksilver when we get into setting training courses. And that's where they really start lapping, kind of without even a coach with them. The coaches will generally be on the course, and as the kids just will cycle on the chairlift. So that's another one. Gold Hills is another good chairlift to practice loading for the young ones, because unlike the detachables, it comes whipping around the bull wheel and picks the kids up pretty quick. So a good one to take a couple laps on before the season starts. And as with Mighty Might Race, the beginning of our season, most of December, we're out free skiing. We don't put gates on in the ground really until kind of holiday camp between Christmas and New Year's. So we're out developing skills on the mountain. So we can, the coaches can bring the kids around to all the different chairlifts and make sure everything's good on Gold Hills and different chairlifts, so kids can get some experience with the coaches there. And, so if we have one kid who needs a little bit more help, they can have the one coach on the chair with them as well. So you can look out for the kids that way. Then as we get into the training a little bit more later on in the year, the kids start operating a little bit more independently on the hill in terms of just lapping by themselves.
Hey guys, a great briefing. Thank you. I appreciate it. I've got a question around the discussion with Crystal Mountain. It's probably one for Alan and the leadership around reservations. And I've looked at January and how I can get my daughter to the hill and be there for her so she's safe for complying with her being cold or potentially hurting herself on the mountain. How can I be there if there's no reservations? What have those discussions been? I'm sure you've had many conversations with the leadership at Crystal. I'd love to hear how those conversations have progressed.
Yeah, we had those discussions, and that was the glitch of the whole deal. They were going to guarantee our coaches and our racers could get on the hill and we had to submit it by Thursday of each week of those days that reservations were full, but they would not guarantee all of our parents to get on the hill, because that's talking with 300 people in January. That's almost 1,000 people, 300 and some kids with all their parents. It's about 1,000 people. They don't think they can handle the overflow. I could have Andy talk to part of it too as well, but that's pretty much your answer for now.
Yeah. And Tom, if you're still on the line, keep me honest here. You may have had frequent or more recent communications, but the last I heard is, one, I know that this isn't the greatest answer you want to hear. But just understand that, Frank DeBerry, our the CEO of Crystal, came out and guaranteed that at least our racers don't need reservations and can train and race. So that was a big step, right? I mean, this is a company that could do other things, and yet they're really committed to the CMAC program. So remember that. I think that's important, first of all. Second, right now in the month of December, yes, it's tight. If you and I have a 10-year-old, so he's a first year U12. Geez, getting tired. It's late tonight. First year U12, same issue. If I don't get a reservation and he's cold, I got to figure out what to do with him. And the pain of it this month might be that I have to be up there or make arrangements with somebody to make sure that if it's time to come off the hill, somebody's there to take care of him. That's the pain of this month. The good news here is that Frank is saying, guys, patience. I think I'm going to be able to add more inventory, but I have to test my inventory at these certain capped levels right now and see how it works. As it works, I can add more inventory. I can add more inventory. I can add more inventory. He is fully convinced that this won't be an issue, maybe as soon as January. That's the last I've heard.
Can I ask a follow-up question? Sorry, yeah. My name's Justin Mackler, a new member, and was hoping to pitch in with the Mighty Mites on the Saturdays. Quick question is, all this is new to me with Crystal. So I have an Icon base. Does that reservation issue apply to me with an Icon base pass? Or am I exempt of that reservation issue that was just raised?
That applies to everyone with an Icon pass. It applies to anyone coming up onto the mountain.
Even if you bought the Icon base, we are still required to reserve.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Cause I thought the Icon base pass, and sorry to take this on a tangent, but I thought you did not have to reserve at Crystal ever.
They changed that last week.
Yeah. Oh, I'm glad that.
So Justin, you raise a good point though. And again, I'll read it, and I mean this nicely. So forgive me if it comes out. This is kind of what I was saying at the beginning, patience. This is tough. This is tough for us. We have changing guidance coming out weekly. The message here is patience this month. Frank is doing everything he can to support this club and get us as parents out there to make this happen. So, let's take what we can get and bear with it. But I do think good things are going to happen. The vaccine is another thing that's going to be really great. And I'm not going to digress into that for very long here. I'm just saying that I was kind of surprised that they're getting vaccines out sooner than later, which means we could have a better end of the season. I just know that this month's a little tight. Like I said, he's testing his caps as he gets comfort around that and gets buy off from Washington State and whoever else he has to report to, Altera. He's going to keep adding inventory, which means we're not going to have issues. So I think it just might be a tough December.
Yeah. So I have one comment that I might run by Frank, because out here in Copper, it's also Icon Pass. So is Winter Park. And at Copper here, they do parking. And they have parking reservations, and then they have parking. When the parking's full, it's done. And they have a certain amount of parking. They can guesstimate the number of skiers. And that'd be a better way, I think, because the reservation system is very difficult. If you can get there early enough and get a parking spot, then you can ski. And I don't know if he would go for that or not, but I might suggest it to him.
They maxed out last Tuesday, Alan, and they sent out the apology. F lot was full. That was too many people on the hill.
Yeah, exactly. But they could manage the parking lot they go, this is how many cars we're going to let in. That's it. And cut it off. They wouldn't be full. They'd have to.
Yeah. The problem is you got people coming from Seattle. They drive an hour and 20 minutes only to be turned around. I think those people would say, I'd rather go online and try to reserve. So I know if I make the commitment to get in the car, I know I'm going to be able to ski or not.
Yeah.
Tiana told me last weekend that they sent out notices to everybody that showed up without a reservation, said, you do it again, we're going to take your pass.
Oh.
Yeah, we're up against, you know, we're up against some crazy times, but the mountain is going to do what it's going to do, and we just have to be flexible. Like I said, I think the takeaway here that's important is that the kids get to race and train without the reservation. They're guaranteed a spot. Now we just got to figure out as parents how we make this happen for them. I know it's tougher for the younger ones. Like I said, I've got a 10-year-old. I'm not exactly sure what to do with that, except for if I don't get to ski that day, so be it. If I have to sit in my car, so be it. It's just kind of the nature of the beast. But like I said, I think good times, better times are on the horizon on the short term, based on what I'm hearing.
One question, being the fact that getting there early will guarantee a parking spot, but we're starting later this year, wouldn't it make more sense that we actually start at 8:30 instead of 9:30, so that people that gets there early trying to get a parking lot closer starts right away instead of having to wait maybe 2 hours in the car before the session starts?
Yeah, so the reason why we made that decision is partly and preps program may operate different. This is what we put together for Mighty Might Race. And one of the reasons we did this, it also gives us the opportunity, once we do start setting training courses with Crystal opening at 8:30 in the morning on the weekends, with Crystal, with that earlier opening, as coaches, we can run up to the training hill. We can set our training hill before we come down and meet the kids. It's always kind of an issue when all the coaches are on the training hill and all the kids come onto the training hill and there's a lot of people. And in a normal year, that's fine. The kids are just taking laps. But this year we can't have that many kids on the training hill. Shortening that training time and moving it a little bit later allows that opportunity for both the shorter session and for us to do some setup before the kids actually arrive. So we can set that course, get down, meet our kids, and then go about our day. And so, you know, I certainly know you have to get up there earlier to get parked and get situated and get up to the hill. But I do think that, you know, if it's a nice day, you know, you've got a chance to go spin a couple laps before most of the crowds get there. You know, if you can get on the chair at 8:30, if it's a colder day, yeah, you might have to, you know, hang out in the, in the car for a little bit. It's just, you know, it's just like we say, it's that flexibility that we're going to need this year. We'll kind of see how our program works as it goes too. You know, this is different than we've ever really done it, and we need to be able to adapt.
In talking to Tiana, I don't see parking as being an issue this year. They're trying to keep everything at 60% of capacity. So you're never going to see, other than the Wednesday before Thanksgiving, which is where all these people broached, where they did not have reservations, I don't see there being parking issues at all. They're basically, they made that new lot. I think it's H lot. And that's as far as they're going to go. So they're never going to fill up F lot. So there really should be no parking issues at all.
Yeah. So I don't think it's a case where you're going to need to, you know, get to the boulevard at 7 o'clock like it was last year to even get up on the hill. I don't know how many people skied last weekend, but last weekend reservations were sold out. We arrived at the parking lot right at 8:30, and they were parking 3/4 of the way down C lot and halfway down B lot. Obviously in January on a powder day, it might be a little different, but yeah, they're managing that capacity. So parking is there. Parking is going to be guaranteed based on, you know, the amount of reservations that they're offering. So I don't think you'll have to build in as much time there to get to the mountain. So hopefully that reduces that time a little, that you're waiting around a little bit as well.
Okay, thank you.
You know, I think just in the interest of time, John, JP, do you have anything else to mention about the sort of the COVID work? Can we move on to Paul to talk about the prep program?
Yeah, I think I've covered enough on that. If anyone has any questions, they can ask directly. But yeah, let's move on and on
to Paul. Yeah. And by the way, you know, if you go to the CMAQ website, you've all been there to register. There's a contacts page, so you know all of us are on the contacts page with email there. So feel free to, you know, if you got another question or you want to keep talking about something, feel free to email, you know, the appropriate person, you know, after the presentation tonight. But Paul, you want to go and talk about the Mighty Mind Prep
program? Can I ask one question?
Yep.
What are the next steps in talking to Crystal Mountain to understand how parents can be on the hill and their children are safe?
I think Andy.
Yeah. What are next steps? Our last communication with Frank was he is dedicating one of his own staff to be focused completely, you know, to have a dedicated person to CMAQ.
What's his name?
He hasn't told us the name yet. We just learned this last week. But Frank DeBerry said he's going to dedicate one of his employees to be focused on CMAQ and representing CMAQ and handling all the questions and the issues that are coming in. He's asking CMAQ and its community of parents and people to be patient, that he's trying to increase inventory and make this work. And he can start by, and the only thing he could promise right now was making sure that our racers have a spot and that they're not excluded from training. But as far as being safe, what he's doing to make things safe for the community, it's pretty evident that he's interacting directly with Washington State, the governor, the C's looking at the CDC. He's also working in conjunction with a larger corporation, that being Altera. They're doing just about everything they can to make sure people are being safe. JP has taken the lead on analyzing all of that information and turning it into something that works for our coaches and our team. And right now that's about the best we can do. Otherwise we end up just shutting this down. Okay. That's not where we want to be.
What's your communication process to us as parents to understand what's occurring?
Right now we are posting things. As things come up, we're posting things to the Crystal Mountain, CMAQ website. And Dale, I think we're also sending out mass communications to anybody that's registered. So as long as you registered and gave an email and a contact, we're sending that communication out via email.
Okay, thank you. Appreciate it.
Yeah, you bet.
Yeah, one thing to mention here, Colorado, all the ski areas that we've been training at all shut down. They're just opening this weekend. It's only been ski racers up till this point. No parents get on the hill, only coaches and ski racers until I think December 1st. Now ski areas are starting to open up out here. So it's kind of a similar situation. They're dealing with in different ways with the parking lot here at Copper, which I thought was a pretty clever way to do it. But hopefully Frank, like he says, he can open up to our parents as well in the next few weeks. Hopefully that works for us.
Thanks, Alan. Should I jump in?
Yep. Hey, just before you get going, Lilia had a question around just the youngest kids and chairlift safety.
Well, John just addressed it on the chat. So yeah, we can maybe chat offline.
Okay. Yeah. Thanks, JP.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead,
Paul. Hey, Paul, are you up?
Okay.
Take it away.
Hello, I'm Paul Clark. I run the prep program. I think a lot of you, especially as new families, are probably in the prep program. It's a great place to start. So I'm going to just run through some basics of what we're doing with the program. Again, this whole COVID thing keeps changing the rules, as you know. So it's real important to just follow emails from me and from Dale and keep on top of your communications with us as things could change as far as where we meet and when we meet and the length of it and all that. We're not a special exclusive thing at Crystal. We're in any thing they offer us is a privilege. So we want to be extra gracious with the mountain and employees. We're all, they are all trying to figure this out as they go, especially the management on the mountain. And us as a race program, we're doing the same thing. We're adjusting and making things work as best as we can. And it's constantly changing. So my background, I grew up at Crystal Mountain. My parents had a business there. I lived right on the ski hill as a kid and went night skiing after school every day. Raced in CMAC in my high school years. I taught for the ski school for many years and have been running the prep program for a lot of years. So I know the mountain well and have been at it a long time. And we do our best to really make it an extraordinary program. Our goal with prep is to make great skiers and get a love for the sport, but also introduce them to racing and hope that they do eventually move into some of the other race programs. Mighty Might prep is for ages 7 through 11. And we run 10 consecutive Saturdays starting January 9th. We do not take a holiday break on President's Weekend or any of those. There are no makeup sessions either unless the mountain is completely closed on a Saturday. Otherwise, it's 10 consecutive Saturdays. We integrate gait training with directed free skiing on Crystal's challenging terrain to build dynamic skiing skills while giving a taste of competition. Our gait training starts usually about week 3 or 4, depending on the progress of each group. Our gait running time is usually about half of the day and the other half is directed free skiing. Most of our gait training is giant slalom. We do not run slalom or speed events for prep. The skill level required to be in prep is they should be able to ski Gold Hill confidently or Lucky Shot, mostly parallel, not in a full-time wedge. They should be able to load the chair, as JP mentioned, on their own. And they should be able to get their skis on and off most of the time without too much assistance. If you've got any questions on their skill level, shoot me an email or message me and we'll try to get out there preseason and take a quick run with you and make sure that they're skiing well enough to be in the program. Main thing is to get up there early and get at least 3 or 4 days in if you can before we start the program. We don't want them too rusty week 1 in January, so get as many days in ahead of time as you can. It's really going to help. Also, make sure to start being that kids are in good physical condition. We do ski hard all day, and with the limited lodge breaks, we're going to be skiing a lot this year. So being in shape is really important. Our groups are organized by age and ability. There's about 6 to 9 kids per coach. A few groups are mixed ages. We might shift kids around to different groups depending on changes throughout the season, trying to keep the groups as compatible as possible. If children are moved to a different group, it doesn't necessarily mean that they've failed or been moved to a slower group. Sometimes they're moved to a faster group, or sometimes our groups are just too big and we're evening things out. So they may change coaches partway through the year. It helps with you as parents to inform them of that so that they're not too surprised if we have to make a change. And we usually communicate that really well with kids. Prior to our first day, you'll be getting an email from me with a coach assignment. We'll have a group number and the name of the coach and where you're going to meet. It's a little different this year. We in the past, we used to meet near the CMAC buildings under the gondola. Now we're going to be spread out all over the mountain, meeting in various places to keep distanced. So each coach is going to have a different place on the hill to meet their kids for the start of each session. Again, it's important to follow the emails and keep in communications with me and the coaches. So you know where our meeting places are and what time. But for the first week, you'll get a lengthy email from me just prior to that with your coach assignment and where they're meeting. Grouping friends together in the same group is extremely challenging. We try to keep kids together. They make new friends and want to stay together, but they're going to continually make new lifelong friends in CMAX. So again, if they're changing groups, they sometimes are a little upset at friends they made, but they'll make new ones really quick. Our schedule, usually we, well, it's gonna be a little different this year. We're gonna confirm the COVID attestment online with the app by about 8:45 in the morning. Hopefully we're meeting the coaches, excuse me, a little bit after nine. It's gonna be maybe closer to 9:30 for the groups that are meeting up on the top of a lift somewhere. Lunch breaks are with the parents. We'll dismiss them around 11:30 to meet you for lunch, and we'll start back up about 12:45, meeting the same coach at the same spot for the afternoon session. Then we're done between 3 and 3:15. Once you've met your coach at the first day, be sure to get their cell number and give them yours. I think a lot of things are going to happen with coaches via text throughout the day, so make sure you exchange numbers with coach as soon as you can. If your skier has any physical or learning challenges that might affect how we do our training, please send me an email and let me know ahead of time so we're aware of that. Let's see, make sure your kids have clear direction on where to meet you. If they can't find you, have a backup meeting place that they always go to. Make sure they've used the bathroom in the morning and at lunchtime. Make sure they're well fed, well rested, warm and dry. It's going to be a little different this year again with limited use of the lodge on cold days or wet days. So lots of extra clothing and gear is going to help this year. Usually we've got some social events we do keep. We'll just have to give you updates on that. Right now they're all on hold. But watch for those on our website and emails. With prep, we have one race. It's at the end of our 10. It's our week 10 in our program. It's called the Sally McNabb Cup. It's a giant slalom race on Gold Hill. And we celebrate afterwards, usually with a big barbecue and awards ceremony at the end of it. It's a lot of fun. Racers can enter other racers if they want, other races if they want to, that are scheduled on the mountain. There's extra costs to get into those races. If you're wanting to do more than just the Sally McNabb race, talk with coach and talk with me for details on that. Those are all optional. Gear, they just need good all mountain skis. They do not necessarily need race skis, but just a good carving ski is great. Try to avoid, if you can, the real fat rockered powder skis. We like to have good carving skis. Helmets, we prefer that they're hard shell over the ears. We give a little bit of leeway with prep skiers. If you've already got a helmet and it's got the soft pads on the ears, that's okay for prep. But as they move into full season Mighty Mites, or if they want to enter some of these other Mighty Mite races, that the hard shell over the ear helmet is required. So if you're buying a new helmet, go with the hard shell. Otherwise, you're okay with what you got. Make sure they've got their lift pass on them each day, as well as the reservation thing, which we talked about, we're still working on, but make sure they do at least have the pass hanging around their neck. Make sure their bindings are properly adjusted too. Briefly on our staff, coaches are usually former racers and or instructors. Many have certification. We have background checks on all the staff We've got a great bunch of cadet coaches who are mostly former racers that were training to be coaches. So they'll be coming along as backup. And all of our coaches go through our training days on the mountain, as well as some US Ski Association online training courses that are required. Getting towards end here, mostly communications is the key, especially this year. We've got Facebook groups. We've got one for Mighty Might Prep. We've got one for CMAC in general. We've got a buy and sell page. So look up our different Facebook pages if you're on there. Dale, are we still doing the Remind app for text messaging, or have we switched?
Yes, we are.
So that's on our website as well, and that'll be in some emails coming from me. It's called Remind, and it's a way that we can text large amounts of people, the whole program at once. If you've got that on your phone, then we can give you last minute updates from the mountain. And primarily check your emails, especially Friday night, as late as possible for any last minute changes before you head up on Saturday. And that's about it. If anyone's feeling sick or ill on Saturdays, of course, stay home with the COVID stuff going on. But otherwise, we're doing everything we can to keep everybody germ-free and having a great time and learning. Feel free to type your questions in. I'll go through and try to answer some of those while some of the other guys are talking. Otherwise, we look forward to seeing you on the 9th. Dale, anything else?
Nope. Sounds good. Again, prep program starts January 9th and runs for 10 weeks after that. And the Mighty Might Race program, which JP's going to talk about next, starts the weekend of the 12th and 13th. Some athletes train on Saturday, some on Sunday, and some on both days, but that's the weekend that starts. Any questions for Paul on the prep program in particular? Okay, awesome. Thank you, Paul.
Great, thanks guys.
Yeah, JP, you wanna take it away?
Hey, for Mighty Might Race families, I won't belabor the kind of daily operations because hopefully you've received our emails, and we will be having a Mighty Might Race Zoom meeting next weekend. So I don't know how many of these we can fit in our calendar, but we'll do our best to pack them in. Usually we do a Mighty Might Race parent meeting on the hill at our shacks, kind of go through our philosophy on teamwork and ski racing and everything. This year we're going to do that via Zoom since we can't all gather up there. So that'll be next week, and we'll really go through pretty in depth how we're going to work every day with your athletes, within the COVID environment, and what our real daily schedules are going to be. So we'll hold that off until next week. But I guess the things that I'll go through are just kind of the general things to Mighty Might Race. Our real philosophy at Mighty Might Race is teamwork and sportsmanship, and then building a solid set of fundamentals for both skiing and ski racing. Usually we try to do a lot of things each year where we're really building team. We usually meet in our CMAC shacks, watch a video as a group. We'll do a couple team building things early on in the year. Unfortunately, this year is a little different. This year it's going to be your kid and five or six buddies and a coach, and that's going to be their team for this year. And they're basically going to just operate as that pod on the mountain for the season. And then they'll get to mix with all the other kids as we get time on the race training hill. But we'll still do our best to kind of maintain that sense of team, belonging to a greater, larger team than just your group, and also, building that overall sportsmanship in our athletics. Just to go over generally how our season looks, we start on the 12th and 13th, and as I mentioned earlier, in December, we're really all about being out on the mountain and free skiing, directed free skiing with a coach. So, you know, talking about technique, working on drills, building skills, you know, that are direct, that are formulated for racing technique, but are just so applicable to all of your skiing out on the mountain. And that takes us through most of through December. And then we have a holiday camp, on the week between Christmas and New Year's. And so that gives us 5 days in a row. You know, typically the kids will group up there and, you know, we'll spend some time of that free skiing and some time in the courses. This year, just with the special circumstances, we can't mix kids that as much. So we will be scheduling training blocks each day, as you probably saw in our email. So that one will be a little bit different, but that's when we really start getting into gates, and we'll usually start out with, you know, some real just kind of drill courses, you know, where we might just set, you know, shorter, we'll use brushes in the snow or use stubby gates. So not a full looking race course, but just getting kids used to kind of skiing racing lines and technique in, you know, moving that technique from out on the mountain into the course. And then through that week, we kind of build into, you know, kind of full race courses, and that week will be split between slalom and giant slalom. And then as we get into kind of the core of the season in January, February, we try to get the kids out on the mountain free skiing, you know, at every training session. And then, but during those months, we do start mixing in more training. And the way it'll look this year, just to reduce crowding on the hill, you know, we're going to, half of the group will train in the morning and then directed free skiing with their coach in the afternoon. And then the other half will do the opposite, so we can keep our numbers lower on our training hills and reduce crowding there. But we always do try to get out on the mountain and utilize Crystal Mountain, that great terrain that's up there to build those skiing skills. And then we bring those into the courses. And then we do have two races at home at Crystal Mountain this year, and we're not planning on traveling. There is no traveling races at our age, at the Mighty Might age level this year. So those two races at our home hill at this time will be our season's races. We'll have a slalom weekend and a giant slalom weekend. Slalom weekend is in January. Giant slalom weekend is in February. Usually we try to schedule a March race, and then there's usually a championship race for the U12s at the end of the year, but not this year. Couple notes on equipment. You know, as Paul alluded to, in Mighty Might Race, we have to have hard-eared helmets. So Mighty Might Race, that if there's one piece of equipment that is absolutely necessary, it is a hard-eared helmet that's hard plastic over your ears. We can't train or race without that. That's USSS guidelines, and it's for your kids' safety. So that's the biggest one. For U10s, you know, probably at this time of the year, most of you have your equipment dialed, but just, you know, U10, you know, one pair of carbon skis is what you need. They'll use those for both slalom and GS. At the U12 level, kids start to have a slalom specific set of skis and a giant slalom specific set of skis. And if you have that, or if you want to do that, that's great. But also at the U12 level, just the one set of carving skis is really all you need. And, you know, we encourage kids to just ski on those skis, you know, all day, every day when they're in CMAC. If it is a big powder day and your kids do have powder skis, they can show up on those skis. If we've just said, hey, the forecast is a whole bunch of snow, we're gonna free ski this all day today. But one thing to keep in mind on that is that, you know, we're always, even when we're out on the hill free skiing, you know, when we pop out onto the groomed runs, you know, we still are working on those racing and carving skills. So, you know, a reverse camber, you know, full rockered ski is not really a great choice for our free skiing time. You know, cause we are always still trying to build those skills that the specific, you know, carving skis work on. Can always jump on those skis on days off, or like I said, if it's a, you know, if it's a day that is a foot of powder, yeah, jump out and get on whatever skis you want, but also know that, you know, your coaches are going to be on carving skis. Most of the kids are on carving skis. And so there's no need to purchase any more than just one set of skis. We do train slalom, giant slalom, and then U12s will train a little bit of Super G, and we do have one Super G race on the Monday of the Cherry Tree Charge weekend. So for slalom gear, I do encourage, especially all U12s should have shin guards, pole guards, and the chin guard, slalom chin guard for their helmet. Whether if it's, you know, if your kid's first time running a slalom course and you don't think they're gonna hit any slalom gates, I still encourage them to have that protection, because if they don't have it, then they won't try to use that technique to start hitting gates. If they have the protection, then if they do hit a gate, then they realize it doesn't hurt, and that's gonna just speed up their progression in slalom. And I would apply that to, you know, to U10s and even U8s as well. You know, it's at those younger kid levels, you know, they're more likely than not probably not hitting gates, but some of them do. And so, you know, for the younger kids, maybe at least just have the pole guard so they can whack a gate with their hands and not feel it. But, you know, but as they're getting into that U10, U12, having the slalom protection is a good idea. I think that for equipment, unless there's any other questions.
Can I just ask a quick question? My daughter did the a Mount Hood camp, and they had to have the chin guard. And she still has it on her helmet because that was last time she skied. Should we remove it? She's going to be in Mighty Might.
Yes. It's best to not ski with the chin guard as much as possible, because when you fall on that chin guard is another thing that can catch or hit and move your neck in different ways. I really encourage the chin guards to be just installed on days when we're skiing slalom. I know it's another step to do. I do it with my daughter. Most helmets make it reasonably easy these days to swap them on and off.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
And then, I guess another thing, race suits, speed suits, absolutely not required. More younger kids generally don't have them. A lot of them do as you get into the U12. Most kids will have a speed suit. Again, it's not required. And there will be quite a few kids who don't have them. You show up at the start, you take off your jacket and get ready to go fast, and good skiing will prevail there. So don't feel that's something that you need to run out and get either, because there's a lot of the club that doesn't race in a speed suit, and that is just fine. I think that's the general gist of it. I think, you know, most of our daily operations, we'll cover next week, a little bit more in depth. That's just specific to the Mighty Might race. So if there's any other questions, feel free.
Well, good job. I think that's the end of the agenda. If there are no other questions, Paul's at Paul. Yeah, just answered one. Thank you, Paul. I think we're good. Anything else, anyone?
Yeah, well, one comment JP made about the protection and shin guards. Well, there's a national champion last week. She got first and third in the slalom. Her name is Katie Hensian. She grew up through our program. She came to summer camp 7, 8 years old, she had her shin guards on and she asked me to teach her how to shin the gates at 8 years old. Now she's a national champion. She's off in Europe and she raced the parallel event the other day in the World Cup. And so you can come from Little Crystal Mountain and you can get all the way to the top. So it's really fun to be part of it.
I remember mistake shinning bamboo gates when I was that old and not on purpose.
Dale,
it makes you more fearless.
Aren't there rules in play now that might be relevant to the younger programs, John and Paul, relating to number of skis, waxing in venues, speed suits, things of that nature? Because if you're up to speed on those and I'm not, we want to make sure that we don't have any parents buying things that they can't use under the new youth league rules.
Yeah. Yes. So USSS is instituting rules that with the overall goal of kind of disarming the equipment race. And so the rules as they stand right now for this season, U10 and under, so U8s, U10s are limited to one. And this applies to races. So I'm talking specifically to a race day and that correlates to our training day, but U10s, the rule is one pair of skis, the same ski for slalom and GS. So as I mentioned, yeah, one pair of race carving skis for U10s. U12s are permitted to have a pair of slalom skis and a pair of GS skis. On race days, the athlete has to ski on the same ski for inspection and for their race run. You know, often, and especially as you get to a higher level, the practice is you have a pair of training skis and you have a pair of race skis and your race skis only ever touch the race course. So they're always finely prepared. They're always well waxed. But at the U12 level, that is not permitted. U12 can have a set of skis for slalom. They can have a set of skis for GS, but just one of each. And that rule applies to race day, but, you know, so it could be possible that a kid could have a pair of training skis that they train on all week and then they're all year and then they race on their race skis, but they also have to inspect on those race skis. But we just encourage, you know, just if you do buy a pair of slalom and a pair of GS skis, one of each is all you need. And that's all that's going to be permitted on race days. Downhill suits, they're kind of trying. They're testing out, they're encouraging each division to host a race or two each year where no speed suits are required. I don't know if PNSA did that at all last year or if they have plans to this year. Well, I guess this year we aren't really hosting any traveling races. So, you know, our races, we haven't talked about whether we'll be doing that or not. We'll probably just go with our normal scenario of wear whatever you want to wear. So, you know, there's no rule in place on that unless a specific club, chooses to host a non-downhill suit race. And then beyond that, there are rules on waxing. There is no waxing or overlay waxing allowed at a race venue. So, you know, oftentimes an athlete might take a first run, and then you'll go up to the top and right before their second run, they'll put an overlay wax on. I mean, I'm speaking specifically to U12 and under here. And I think this rule applies to U14s, but I pay most attention to U12 and under. So there's no waxing allowed at the race venue. So whatever wax you show up with in the morning, that needs to carry you through the afternoon as well. And again, that's to kind of de-escalate the thousands of dollars that you can spend on special overlay waxes, especially at the U12 level, if your kid is carving and maintaining an aggressive line, they probably will be on close to the podium. At our level, it's about the skiing. It's not about the equipment, or the real specialized equipment. You know, have appropriate race skis. And if your kid develops the skills, they're going to be successful. And, you know, successful is not just limited to being on the podium. So, successful is about that improvement that we try to see from every day to the next day. And so, yeah, I think that pretty much covers the rules there.
One final note on that also, John, is important to note that USSS has banned fluoro waxes for all competitions in the United States, with the exception of continental qualifiers for Europa Cup or World Cup. And I can speak for a great many folks in the program here who are now sitting on hundreds of dollars of unusable wax. So us coaches are going to have really fast skis for the next few years while we burn through what used to be our race wax. I know Dale's got drawers full of fluoro additive somewhere. So, because there are ski shops that will still try to sell you fluoro waxes, which cost hundreds of dollars per ounce. I mean, it's really astounding how much these waxes cost. Don't buy them because you can't use them. And it's one of the really nice things that they've done with the new rules is to kind of degrade the arms race on the outrageously expensive waxes. So my understanding of the rule at every level, including at the FIS level for non-continental qualifiers, is you just can't use fluoro. So don't waste your money on them.
JP, one quick question regarding something that is on the calendar on the CMAC website. There is from the 20th to the 22nd, and then from the 27th to the 31st of December, there's the holiday camp for MM race program from U12s to all levels. Can you briefly go over how is that going to look? Is that something that will happen there in the mountain? How does that look?
Yeah, so the holiday camp, it'll be 5 days of training. I think the dates are the 27th through the 31st. It'll be 5 days of training in a row. It's every single day of that is open to every Mighty Might race member at Mighty Might Race athlete, whether you're a Saturday or a Sunday or a full-time Mighty Might race. So you can show up to each day of that. We have to, and oftentimes, not all the kids are there because whatever your schedule is during that time of year. So what we're going to do this year, and we don't have this sign up in place yet, but it'll be coming. We're going to just send out a sign up genius where I think we'll start it out with four sessions that you can sign, 4 days that you can sign up for a session. And we're going to run, our goal is to have about 20 to 25 kids on a training course at any one session. And with our overall numbers, it looks like we're going to try to run 3 sessions a day. One will be early, one will be morning, one will be kind of through the lunchtime, one will be in the afternoon. And you will sign up for 1 2-hour training block each day. And right now with the numbers that we have in a program to maintain that 20 to 25 kids on a course, we will probably be offering to sign up. You can sign up for 4 out of the 5 days. Then if we have, if we don't fill up all of our spots, then we'll say, okay, we'll open it up to that 5th day. I know for our kid, our 9-year-old who was 8 last year, 5 days in a row was just too much. She skied the first 2 days of camp, took a day off, and then skied the next 2 days. And anything that you want to show up for is, it's totally your prerogative. If you have other plans and you want to just show up for 1 day, just sign up for that day. If you want to sign up for all 4, and then, if we have room to add a 5th, you can do that. But because of, we don't want to mix groups of kids, and, not all kids are there, not all coaches are available to be there. This year, we've decided instead of kind of a group-based organization, it's just going to be a training hill based. And so the kids will show up at their designated time at the announced, whether we're on Quicksilver or Gold Hills or kind of our 2 main training venues, they will just show up there. There'll be a course set. There'll be coaches there that won't be their specific coach, but it could be their specific coach could be on that day. And we're also, when we send out our sign up, we'll show which coaches are assigned to each session too. So if you want to try to seek out that session that your child's coach is in, you can sign up for that. And that's, really pretty much, you know, I guess for Alan and Tom who've been out in Colorado with the camps and over summer camps, that's pretty much kind of how those camps are running. You know, it's training blocks and keeping the numbers down on the course to just reduce our crowding. And so hopefully that gives you
time in there too. The national team, that's what they do. They do 2.5 hour training blocks. Then they have lunch, and then in the afternoon they do dry land training. So it's kind of the way ski racing is. After about 2.5 hours, you've had the volume where you get enough focus and training. Training all day does not, the extra laps don't necessarily help. It's probably best to go out free skiing after a half day of training, usually. So,
great. Thank you very much.
Got any other questions? Sorry.
Yeah. Any more questions out there?
I have one question.
Sure.
Are you going to encourage the kids to free ski on those times when they might be sitting in the car. Yeah,
hi Perry, and I know your son's in Mighty Might Race. So, you know, this one is one that is totally up to the parents. I always encourage free skiing. And so, you know, for our normal training day, you know, we'll have a half a day of coach directed free skiing and a half a day of training on the course. For the holiday camp where you get a 2 hour training session. Yeah, absolutely. You're up there, go out and take all advantage of what the mountain has to offer, but those kids will be, you know, if you're comfortable with them skiing the mountain on their own or they're with their parents. They're for our holiday camp, they will only be with under CMAX control for those 2 hours when they're on their training block session. The rest of the time is really up to you, but yeah, we absolutely encourage, you know, get as much time on that snow as you can. And then, you know, just keeping a watch out for, is it cold outside? Do they need to warm up? You know, being conscious of that type of thing, but yeah, go free ski. I mean, I love Crystal Mountain. It's a great place to ski, get out and explore and have fun.
Yeah. And our U14 and older programs, we're going to be doing this type of training situation all the time. We're going to be really running training hills half day and then encouraging them to go free ski with their friends or parents on the other half day. It's going to be working like that all season long, just because of the same situation. We got to keep our numbers down on the training hill due to COVID. But like I said, we're going to be plenty productive, and we might send a couple coaches out free skiing the mountain so they could always run into a couple kids here and there, but we can't do large groups and groupings out on the mountain with our kids. So any way to make it work and make it productive. We've been doing it out here in Colorado, and I tell you, our kids are ripping. The kids have been out here training. It's been a lot of fun.
Where do we sign up for that weekend camp, holiday camp?
There's no, the Mighty Might Race holiday camp, there's no sign up for that. It's just part of the program. So, thanks
for that. So your tuition covers it, but we will have a sign up for the days and for the sessions that you intend to show up. We haven't developed that yet. That'll probably come mid-December. We'll send that out, and that'll come out to the Mighty Might Race families in an email when those signups are available.
Yeah. And prep skiers are not part of the Christmas camp or the early December training. We start on January 9th with prep.
Hey, thanks for the answering that question there. Is there a way for the prep skiers to be included in that, any of the camp session?
No, there's not really.
Yeah, the prep program starts in January, and the Mighty Might Race program is a separate program.
If there's they can do the midweek training at Snoqualmie, but that depends on space and signing up. That's an extra sign up for that.
Yeah, from January through mid-March, we have midweek training on Wednesday nights. The Mighty Mites can add on if they'd like to ski. Yeah. We set up at 4:30, so 5 to 7:30 at night at Summit West, we have gate training. Slalom and giant slalom through mid-March, January through mid-March.
Yeah, I definitely encourage, you know, everyone in the prep program to, you know, get out and ski with your kids, just go free ski all over the mountain, get their feet under them, get some confidence, just get back in the groove. You know, Christmas holiday, if you guys are around over the, you know, school holidays, you know, midweek, there's still a lot of opportunities to get up there. I don't think any of those days are sold out reservation wise. So something to consider. So any other questions? Okay. Well, hey, I guess with that, we can wrap up. Just want to thank everyone for attending tonight. Thank you for your patience as we sort through a year which is in a lot of ways without precedent. And we'll just keep working through and doing the best we can for you. So again, if you need to reach out to anyone, there's a contacts page at the CMAC website. All of us, Paul, JP, Andy, our president, Tom, our vice president, Alan, our director, myself, Dale, are all on the contacts page. So feel free to reach out to us. You've also got parent reps for a lot of these programs that are helpful as well. So,
and I know this was mostly Mighty Mite prep and Mighty Mite race, but any U14, U16, U19 parent, I had one already reach out to me. If you're one of those, reach out to me directly, or I'll send you to Lily Erickson, who runs the U14 program, and we'll answer in depth any question you have. Just email me tonight after the meeting.
Okay.
Thanks, everyone. Looking forward to a great season. Great to see some kids online here, too. We see you guys huddled over there, so looking forward to seeing you on the hill.
Yeah. Thanks, everybody. All welcome.
Right. All right. Thank you.
Make it a great season.
A great season. Yeah. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you, everybody.